How's it going, everybody? It is 5:55, Thursday afternoon, end of my work week. So it's time for another trip down the homeward path. This is the show by me and MTG Dad for all of you at home who are trying to play Magic the way that I do, on a budget, financial, time, either, both, whatever. This is what I'm here for. So this week, we've had a lot of mixed signals coming out of Wizards of the Coast. That's to say the least. It's kind of underselling what they've been doing, but we'll take a quick glance at that, and then we're going to talk about what it means, how to find time to play Magic when you work a full-time job, when you have a wife and kids at home, in my case. Again, I always tell these things from my point of view because that's the only point of view I know. I can't speak for anybody else's experience. I can only tell you what I'm doing, and if you can glean value from that, that's what I'm here for. And speaking of gleaning value from something, check out the rest of the network over at constructedcriticism.com. You will glean all kinds of value from listening to players who are a lot better at Magic than me at every step of the way. Listening to the other content on the network. And I am the other content on the network. They are the content on the network. So check them out. And another way you can glean value is by checking out our sponsor over at inkedgaming.com. You can use the promo code CCMTG10 and glean a little bit of extra value off of your purchase price in the form of 10% off. And you can get your playmat, sleeves, deck boxes, you know, whatever. Whatever it is you're after, accessory-wise, they pretty well got you covered. And with that promo code, you can grab 10% off. If you want to support the show directly, you can do so at patreon.com/homewardpathmtg. The show will always be free, but if you feel like you are gleaning enough value out of this show to feel the need to contribute back and, you know, try to improve the show, help me improve this equipment. This pair of Turtle Beaches is not going to last forever, folks. You know, feel free to do so. I will be sure that it is put to good use. All of that out of the way, all the shilling out of the way, let's go into our first segment. While we were away this week, Wizards has made a lot of weird announcements, to say the least. We had the Grand Prix in New Jersey this past weekend, and during day one coverage, or what should have been day one coverage, they announced in a reply to a tweet that they were not going to be doing video, they were not going to be doing coverage of Grand Prix anymore. Because they wanted to focus on the Magic Pro League. Now, whatever, right? I mean, now I'm someone who kind of cut my teeth watching the pro scene through text coverage. You know, I had my first Pro Tour experience up until we got into Top 8. Most of my exposure to that Pro Tour was by the form of text coverage. I watch a lot of, you know, kind of greats of the game, and then the guy that I ended up rooting for winning their feature matches on text coverage. I wasn't watching the videos. I didn't have great internet at the time. Now, when it came time to watch the semifinals and the finals, it was well worth waiting for it to connect in order to watch. But, you know, up to that point, it was nothing. It was text. That's all I had. So doing away with literally all coverage from Grand Prix was a little bit odd, considering this is the kind of the open invite pseudo professional series event that we have available to us now. Like, this is the only thing we have left. We don't have PPTQs anymore. We don't have RPTQs anymore. We have Grand Prix and the PTQs that go on at Grand Prix on Magic Fest weekends. I guess technically they're MCQs, Mythic Championship qualifiers, but whatever. It's the same thing. It's a PTQ. So, you know, that was the first weird announcement. And then they're cutting back the photographer. There was a lot of hullabaloo about a trophy, but it turned out it had been ordered and it just didn't arrive in time. Channel Fireball has decided to step up to the plate and take care of the text coverage, which caused a lot of players to lose their minds because, well, if you're going to do text, why not do video? Well, as someone who cut his teeth on text coverage, I'm fine with anything. Like, I don't have to let everybody see me in real time play Magic poorly on camera. Okay? You know, I would absolutely adore the possibility of being in a feature match. But I'm not seeing it happen with my relative level of skill. It's never been about the fame. It's just been about, you know, trying to... If I can help somebody avoid a mistake, that's what it's about to me. So, I mean, it's whatever. But as much as it sucks to not be able to just, you know, get online, lazy Saturday, and watch some GP action, I'll be okay. Star City Games has really stepped up in that regard. Like, they have the best coverage of everything anyway. And let's not kid ourselves. Wizards coverage had not been great, on with the exception of, like, the Grand Prix read and, you know, some of the other things that they did. The coverage had not been particularly exciting anyway. Not to say that the people who were doing their job were not doing a good job by any stretch of the imagination. It's just Wizards, I mean, it was kind of spotty. There were the weird commercials, and we had all this other stuff going on, and it was kind of hard to watch at times live. That's all. Not an indictment on anybody's, you know, capabilities. Now, the other weird announcement, they put out the announcement for the PAX East Mythic Invitational to be played on Arena. It's going to be best of one. Now, the full details haven't been released yet. They extended a bunch of invites to a bunch of people. And that has caused a bunch more people who felt like they should have been invited to, you know, shake their fist at the sky, so to speak. Now, personally, there are some people I would have liked to have seen get an invite just because of how effective a job they had done at helping Wizards promote their new product. But me ranting angrily on social media is not going to fix that problem. It's sure not going to get those people an invite on the other side. But there's also the announcement that the top, I believe it was 8 players in constructed ranked, would also be invited, which is very exciting because it's a lot like Magic. It's a lot like Magic Online PTQs, but you get to do it on Arena, which is just the better client. So, I mean, this kind of seems like awesome. And it gives a reason to the grind of trying to get to Mythic in the first place, right? Personally, I ended preseason 1 at gold, I think gold 3 maybe. And I was pleased with myself. I ended up not playing a ton of ranked because it was just a chore. And I ended up playing more or less suboptimal lists in order to just try to slog through the ranked metagame. Like, nothing I was testing on ranked was something I was going to take in the iteration that was there to a GP or even my locals. It's just like being able to beat specifically the kinds of decks that I was seeing at that level is most of what I was doing in ranked. And that's not healthy. That's not particularly good Magic. It rewards playing a lot of games and being kind of linear over having a deck that's flexible and adapts by virtue of the sideboard and flexible strategic lines. Regardless, I'm rambling again. I do this. I'm sorry. You know, the TLDL for while we were away, Wizards PR disaster this week. Rolls back Grand Prix coverage, announces this tournament, but announces the people that are invited, which causes the collective Magic Twitterverse to throw its hands in the air, flip the collective table, so to speak, and turns out playing Arena, you know, grinding Arena to the point of almost no life in it can reward you with an invite to a Mythic Championship if you try hard enough. So, all of that out of the way, I'm sure I missed something, but, you know, all of that out of the way, let's move on to the main topic this week, because that's the thing I really wanted to talk about. So, again, this is the show by me, a dad. I work a full-time job. I'm getting off work about half an hour late today, so that puts me at about 45 hours this week. And I have, you know, as soon as I get home, my wife goes to work. So it's mostly just me and the kids during the week at night. One would think I don't have a lot of free time, and one would be correct. I have, you know, most of my free time is devoted to my weekends, and my weekends are largely spent cleaning up after the mess that we let build up through the week. You know, with the exception of an occasional trip to the store for an occasional trip to the shop for Standard Showdown or an F&M or something like that, still a vast majority of my Magic play takes place on Arena. You know, we get the kids down for a nap on Friday. I'll log on, hammer out, catch up on my daily quests if I haven't already. But most of my thing for finding time, it's not necessarily finding time to play Magic by, like, crowding other things out. For me, it's been the ability to multitask. It's been the ability to figure out, like, once I can get into a regimented schedule, finding time to play Magic becomes easy because you start finding the time that you normally waste doing other things. Like, for me, it starts in the mornings. That's where I first discovered I had free Magic time once I downloaded Arena. It starts in the mornings, because I get up usually somewhere around 4:30, 4:45. Because I get up, I cook breakfast, I eat, I make sure my lunch is together, and then for the longest time, most of what I would do after I finished my breakfast, got my lunch together, was sit and play on my phone. Check Facebook, check Twitter, you know, check and see if Hearthstone needed an update, whatever. Well, that same amount of time, I can hammer out some daily quests on Arena. So I've started doing that. While I'm cooking breakfast, I let the computer load. I pull up Arena, let it, you know, update if it's got to while I'm cooking breakfast. And then by the time breakfast is ready, sit down. As I eat my breakfast, play through my daily quests. Try to grind through my daily quests. And then about 5:35, 5:40, 5:45, shut it down, get ready, go to work. Got to be at work at 6:30. Let's go. Get home. Same thing again. I usually get home, eat dinner, Sarah goes to work, kids running around, going crazy. Usually somewhere around 8, 8:30, I'll get them to bed. Because Esther has to go to school the next day, and Abel's usually exhausted from having chased his sister around the house. So is Daddy. That's beside the point. Daddy's always exhausted. We get the kids to bed. We you know, I kind of decompress a little bit. And then I look at the clock. 8:30, 8:45, 9 o'clock. Well, let's get on Arena. Let's play a best of three match real quick. Let's see how this deck does today. Or let's climb into regular best of one play and hammer out a few games and see what main deck configurations I don't like. Because, you know, the one thing Arena's really good at right now is making sure your main deck configuration is good against the field, provided that field is specifically Bant Nexus, Mono Red, or Green Black. Those are pretty much the three decks I'm seeing online right now. And when I say Green Black, I mean Green Black straight, I mean Green Black Krasis, I mean Green Black with white, I mean, you know, the various forms of the Green Black X midrange deck. So it's basically three decks that I'm seeing a lot of. Now, every once in a while, I'll see a proper Esper control deck, or I will see a Jeskai control deck, or I will see the Is It Drake's Mirror, or I will see, you know, something else that gets me really excited to play Magic again. But most of my time on Arena is spent playing against Mono Red, Bant Nexus, and Golgari Splash. And that's not a bad thing either. But what it means is, it means I have to go into Arena with a purpose, and that's usually, you know, trying to figure out what the worst cards in my deck are, honestly. And I'm going to be going in tonight. I'm going to be starting with the list that I tweeted about last night. I'm excited to get to play it. It's a much more streamlined list of Is It Drakes than what I've been doing. Moving Niv-Mizzets to the board is going to take some getting used to, because I've won a lot of games just by playing to Niv-Mizzet as an out. But I am more than happy to be wrong about this deck. So, you know, I'm gonna put in some time with it between now and Memphis, because by and large is probably the deck that I'm going to end up playing. It's the deck that I've put the most time in. And that's another thing about, it's not just finding time to play Magic, it's about how you use the time you play Magic. So it's for me, I'm preparing for a Grand Prix. I don't need to spend a ton of time trying to brew decks 2 weeks before the event. That's not going to get me anywhere. You know, there's a couple of things I would love to brew up and see if it's good, and then, you know, put some time in and really kind of buckle down and see if I can break the format, but probably not going to happen between now and then. So let's use my time wisely and try to figure out how to best tune this shell that has been good for what I'm expecting to see. That seems like a much better use of my time. So again, you know, somewhere between 5:15 and 5:30 in the mornings, you know, or 5:40 in the mornings, about 25-30 minutes usually I get to play. And then at night, it's usually between 8:15, 8:30, and 9:15, 9:30. I get about an hour that I can play a little bit at night if I want to. Now, sometimes I choose to forego that hour at night because maybe I got up earlier in the morning, or maybe I played after I got home while the kids were awake. And that's another thing. Every once in a while, one of my kids will run up to the TV and go, "Daddy, play game." And that's exciting, because it means more time playing Magic. I don't have to make it. The kids decided they wanted me to play. That's fun. You know, sometimes finding time to play Magic is about being very fortunate. In my case, that means the occasional, you know, kids decide they want to see the game when I turn the computer on, instead of wanting to watch Goku. Super proud parent about that, by the way. Love the fact that my kids love Dragon Ball. And then there's the fact that I have the best testing partner in the whole world in my spouse, who is at home with me all the time. Like, we're going on vacation this weekend. And I say vacation, we're going to stay with my brother over the weekend. We're going to go to the Children's Museum because we're going to celebrate Abel's birthday. And he wanted to go there. And then we're going to, you know, come back and have pizza and ice cream and cake, because, you know, birthday. And that boy loves his pizza. But even on this trip, I'm going to bring my standard decks. I'm going to bring our standard decks with me, because, you know, we may stop to eat on the way down. The kids decide to cooperate and play a game. Or after we get there, while the kids are sitting in the living room watching whatever they're watching, we can sit down and play a game of Magic or two. Try to figure out my flex slots. Everything's got a purpose, especially this close to the tournament that I'm trying to prep for. But again, everything has a purpose, and we're using the time that we have wisely. And it's just absolutely incredible that I have somebody in my house all the time that will occasionally look me in the eye and go, "Hey, you want to play some Magic real quick?" It's the best feeling in the world. Well, not the best feeling. I have kids and I have a wife. There are other feelings that are better, but it's one of the best feelings in the world. "Hey, you want to play that game you love? That sounds like it would be fun for me." "Yes." "Yes, I do. I would very much like to do that. Thank you. That would be most good." I mean, that's what it boils down to. to some extent, you can regiment your schedule. You can try to make it as easy on yourself as possible to stay on top of it. You know, again, I have mornings where I oversleep, or I have nights where I just really don't feel like playing Magic. I don't have many of those, but I do have them. But for the most part, I stick to a schedule. At home, you know, in my home life, I stick to a schedule. And by sticking to that schedule, I started to find time that I can use to play Magic. It's not about like crowding other things out to make room for Magic. It's about figuring out where you already have room and seeing if you can make Magic fit. Because again, while we love this game, while I love this game, I say we like I'm talking for everybody that's listening. While I love this game, I don't love it to the extent that I love it more than my family. So, family first, Magic second. That's not a bad thing. What is a bad thing is when you use that as an excuse for not putting forth the effort to improve at Magic. Because you don't have to be on the Pro Tour, you don't have to be a Magic Pro to want to improve, to want to be better. And I know plenty of people who never have wanted to improve, and those are some of the least fun people I ever get to play with, because they blame everything outside of themselves for why they are losing games of Magic when they show up to play a tournament. It is a tournament. One should assume the other players are there to win it, I would think. You know, as much as I would love for Magic to be a little bit more casual sometimes, the fact of the matter is these other players at these tournaments that I'm going to are there to try and win these tournaments. They don't care how much fun I'm having. At least that's the way I see it in my mind. Now, I am not using that as an excuse to not try to make my opponents enjoy themselves. On the contrary, I usually try to use that as a way to show my opponent that it's not as bad as they think it is. But, you know, these other players are here playing to win the game. Well, if we're playing to win the game, we've got to play more Magic. And in order to do that, we got to figure out where we can fit it into our schedules. Maybe it's about figuring out, you know, how to multitask. Maybe you too get up early in the morning and cook breakfast. Maybe you can get Arena loaded up and have a game, you know, have a deck queued up, waiting to hit play as soon as breakfast is ready. And while you're eating breakfast, you can play a couple of games. Maybe it's about, you know, making sure the kids have a strict bedtime. And then realizing that because the kids have a strict bedtime, you've got an extra hour or two at night that you can spend playing some Magic. Whether that means getting on Arena or inviting someone over at a certain time every night to play, if you want to do that. Maybe it's about just being the luckiest person in the world and having someone in your home that wants to play Magic with you a lot. Or someone who understands that, you know, understands the level of passion that you have for this game and is willing to occasionally acquiesce to your wants to go play, you know, make a trip up to the card shop, take a weekend away from the family in order to go play a Grand Prix that you don't reasonably have a chance to win. You know, having kids who occasionally will look at the TV screen and say, no, I don't want to watch that kid show. Let's play Magic. I want to watch you play Magic. That's, you know, I can't say what I do works for everybody, but I can say it works really well for me. It's exciting. It's fun. It's a really good way to play Magic. You know, when the kids are getting excited about the animations and just, you know, yelling and, you know, not yelling, but like, you know, squealing with joy every time a pack of cards is opened on screen. Man, that feels good when I watch them, you know, wow, you opened a card. That's a dragon, you know. It's incredible. And I'm very fortunate for that. And I can't not acknowledge the fact that I'm very fortunate in that regard. I have a partner who also loves to play Magic. I have a partner who understands why I love to play Magic and how much I love to play Magic, and does not hold it against me that I love to go play Magic away from the family on occasion. That understands that, you know, sometimes I need some time away to kind of decompress from the stress of the week or what have you. Whatever that case may be, you know, sometimes that's really what it's about. It's not about crowding out. It's just finding ways to optimize the time that you have to make Magic work. And then within that time that you find, prioritizing and making sure you're getting the most out of it. Because it's really easy to just play a handful of games of Magic with a deck that you kind of like a day, and you never really improve at the game. You just kind of tread water. You get to play the same deck you like. And you may eventually come to master that deck, but especially if you're playing a standard format or you're playing Modern, which just is kind of volatile from time to time. Decks come and go in popularity. Decks are rarely horrible, but a lot of times they're not good. So, you know, single deck mastery has its merits, but it's not a long-term strategy to grow as a player. It's a long-term strategy to grow as a collector, as a way to play the game on a budget, but it is definitely not a way to grow as a player, to master skills that you don't have. You know, for me, you know, like the Midnight pre-release I was talking about last week, that was a case of me figuring out how to optimize the time that I had. I had the credit. I was going to do a pre-release. I was not sure which one I wanted to do until I figured out that Midnight worked the best because it meant I wouldn't have to miss any of the other time that I needed to spend. That's a case of figuring out how to use the time that I have more than it is crowding out other things in order to make room for Magic. Now, the more you try to, the more competitive you get at Magic, the more you'll find yourself doing that. Trying to crowd other things out in order to make time to make Magic more important. And that's okay too, if that's what you really want to do. There's nothing wrong with that inherently. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's really all I have to say about it. So I'm pulling in the driveway now, and that means it's time to tell you where you can get in touch with me, because I love talking with my listeners. You can find me on Twitter at HomewardPathMTG. You can find me on Facebook. My name is Adam Spain. You can join the Facebook group, the Homeward Pathfinders. It's starting to get a little bit more active. You know, we're conversations are starting now. I'm excited. Thanks, Kevin, for that nice long comment thread last week talking about, you know, did anybody start playing Paper Standard again because of Arena? Short answer, yes. I had largely taken a break during the summer, and Arena helped kind of pull me back in. And then you can also, if you want to be a part of the show, if you want to, you know, reach out and give me a good time, you can tweet the show with the hashtag MTGDadJokes. I'm a dad. I love puns. So I thought I'd have some fun with it. This is my Twitter outreach program. I want all the MTG dad jokes. I will, if I come across one, I'll tag it so that I can find it later. Or if you find one, you do the same. So the first one for this week comes from Rich Hagon, who says, if you're playing mono red and your opponent not only counters both your key spells, but also gains 6 life, that's a lot to absorb. Huh? That's a lot to absorb? 2 absorbs? Anyway, I enjoyed it. Then we have Mark Rosewater's Tales from the Pit, number 1965. Orzhov's enemies are often thralled to pieces. Ah, good times. And then we have one from Maria Bartholdi. Says, okay, this is getting out of hand, people. And she has 3 picture of someone who had drafted 3 copies of Ill-Gotten Inheritance. And said, this is getting out of hand. Well, Steam Elephant says, not if you like a spectacle, huh? Huh? Spectacle? Okay. I'll see myself out. And on my way out, I'm going to thank everybody for listening. I really appreciate every bit of feedback that I get. It's valuable. It helps me grow. It helps me know what you want. And it lets me know that I'm doing what I intended to do, which was engage and create a conversation where maybe there wasn't one before. So for all of that, I thank all of you, and I will catch you next week. And I hope you have a good one.